Good morning. Welcome to St. John's Lutheran Church in the midst of raindrops today. Just in case you'd forgotten what they look like, there they are, you know, all the rest of that. But it is good for us to be together as we continue this green and growing season after Pentecost, as we continue on into the month of July. There are Sunday school bags on the back pew, so if there are children here or there will be children coming to visit you today, please let them have those little bitty glimpses of how much God loves them. We had vacation Bible school this past week, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and it was great. You'll hear more about the vacation Bible school and about what we learned talking about fruits of the Spirit during the children's message, so hold on for that. Today, in between services, we have a congregational meeting. We will be discussing the cracks and things in the exterior of our building that are allowing water to come in and damage parts of the ceiling. We will discuss the repairing of the ceiling and all of those sorts of things. Finally, we will also be holding a second vote on our new constitution. It always requires two consecutive votes. So I hope that many of you, all of you, we'll be able to remain after worship for this important meeting. This coming Thursday, we have a new Bible study beginning. That's Thursday, July 21st. We will be looking at prayer in a six-week Bible study, and so we will be meeting in the parlor beginning at 7 p.m. on Thursdays, and I hope that you will be able to join us for that Bible study on prayer. There are also, finally, still copies of the LBW or With One Voice that are free for you to take home for your own private use. They're in the cloakroom just off of the Water Street exit there, and we would love for you to pick up all that you need by August 1st. We have gathered this morning to be in worship. We have gathered this morning to add our voices to those of God's people across time and space. So let us continue our worship by joining together in our gathering song. The song is Almighty. Let us rise and sing together.
Of the air are silent to call out your name. The earth has no voice, so I have no choice but to magnify God unashamed. Let the rock be kept silent for one more day. Let the whole world sing out, let the people say, Almighty, most holy. Holy Lord, glorious Almighty God. Well, time marches on, with the innocence gone, and the darkness has covered the earth. But His Spirit still dwells, He speaks, it is well, and the hope is still offered to birth. He will break the leash of death, He will have no sting. Let the prisoner go free, for the dance and sing. Almighty, most holy God, faithful through the ages. Almighty, most holy Lord, glorious Almighty God. Almighty, most holy God, glorious Almighty God.
The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Let us pray. Eternal God, you draw near to us in Christ and you make yourself our guest. amid the cares of our lives. Make us attentive to your presence, that we may treasure your word above all else. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. You may be seated.
The verse lesson is from Genesis chapter 18. The Lord appeared to Abraham by the oaks of Mamre as he sat at the entrance of his tent in the heat of the day. He looked up and saw three men standing near him. When he saw them, he ran from the tent entrance to meet them and bowed down to the ground. He said, "My Lord, if I find favor with you, do not pass by your servant. Let a little water be brought, and wash your feet, and rest yourselves under the tree. Let me bring a little bread, that you may refresh yourselves, and after that you may pass on, since you have come to your servants." So they said, "Do as you have said." And Abraham hastened into the tent to Sarah, and said, "Make ready quickly 3 measures of choice flour, knead it, and make cakes." Abraham ran to the herd, and took a calf, tender and good, and gave it to the servant, who hastened to prepare it. Then he took curds and milk and the calf that he had prepared, and set it before them. And he stood by them under the tree while they ate. They said to him, "Where is your wife Sarah?" And he said, "There, in the tent." Then one said, "I will surely return to you in due season, and your wife Sarah shall have a son." The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. The second lesson is Colossians chapter 1. Christ Jesus is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. For in him all things in heaven and on earth were created, things visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or powers. All things have been created through him and for him. He himself is before all things, and in him all things hold together. He is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, so that he might come to have first place in everything. For in him all the fullness of God was pleased to dwell, and through him God was pleased to reconcile to himself all things, whether on earth or in heaven, by making peace through the blood of his cross. And you who were once estranged and hostile in mind, doing evil deeds, he has now reconciled in his fleshly blood through death, so as to present you holy and blameless and irreproachable before him, provided that you continue securely established and steadfast in the faith, without shifting from the hope promised by the gospel that you heard, which has been proclaimed to every creature under heaven. I, Paul, became a servant of this gospel. I am now rejoicing in my sufferings for your sake, and in my flesh I am completing what is lacking in Christ's afflictions for the sake of his body, that is, the church. I became its servant according to God's commission that was given to me for you, to make the word of God fully known, the mystery that has been hidden throughout the ages and generations, but has now been revealed to his saints. To them, God chose to make known how great among the Gentiles are the riches of the glory of this mystery, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. It is he whom we proclaim, warning everyone and teaching everyone in all wisdom, so that we may present everyone mature in Christ. The word of the Lord.
Please rise for the reading of the Holy Gospel. The Gospel according to St. Luke in the 10th chapter. Now as Jesus and his disciples went on their way, he entered into a certain village where a woman named Martha welcomed him into her home. She had a sister named Mary who sat at the Lord's feet and listened to what he was saying. But Martha was distracted by her many tasks, so she came to Jesus and asked, "Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to do all the work by myself? Tell her then to help me." But the Lord answered her, "Martha, Martha, you are worried and distracted by many things. There is need of only one thing. Mary has chosen the better part, which will not be taken away from her." The Gospel of our Lord. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Go and do likewise. That was how Jesus concluded his conversation with the lawyer in last week's gospel reading. But from that, many of us, many people around the world believe that the story of the Good Samaritan is all about then what we do, since, of course, we're supposed to do likewise. But then this week, we get into the story of Mary and her sister Martha, and this story seems to contradict the go and do likewise. Because Martha is busy preparing a meal, offering hospitality, going above and beyond, just like the Samaritan in Jesus' story. And yet when she asks Jesus to have her sister Mary help her, Jesus says no. Mary is sitting and listening to Jesus, not helping her sister. Sometimes it looks like Mary is behaving like the priest or the Levite in the Good Samaritan story. And if she is, then why is Jesus supporting that? You see, the story of Mary and Martha can be truly confusing as we hear and see Mary sit at Jesus' feet as Martha makes a wonderful Sunday dinner. Now, both of these things are needed, and yet it seems that Jesus only praises the one. Why is that, and what's going on? See, Martha and millions of women like Martha always feel inadequate when they hear Jesus apparently disrespecting what it is that they do best. My mother was a Martha sort, all right? She was always busy doing the ordinary stuff of feeding and cleaning and helping and doing. And so for years, I wondered, why would Jesus disrespect that? And too often as we read this story, Mary looks like the lazy one, looking for a way out of the kitchen, looking for a way out of helping Martha. And Jesus seems to praise that. Now, I don't know about you, but I've played the game. You know, you just had the big family meal and you're all sitting around and I've almost got it timed perfectly that I get ready to stand up and say, how can I help? Just as the last dish has been washed and dried and put away. It's almost perfect for that, right? Why would Jesus praise that or encourage that? As I have wrestled with this story for years, I've decided that this Mary and Martha story is really about finding balance for your life and your living and discovering the timing in your own day to make all of this work. The story isn't really about cooking or listening, not really. It's about striking a balance between the busyness of God's kingdom, the doing the ordinary stuff of life and help, and then also the quiet, meditative, contemplative reconnection with our source of life and strength. We need both. And Jesus wants us to find the balance, to find the time for both. In the story today, Mary sits at Jesus' feet and soaks up everything that he says. She pays attention, she listens, she hears, she connects with Jesus. And as she does, she is finding a whole new way to live. Some people ask, why bother? And Paul gives us that answer in Colossians. Mary listens to Jesus because he is the image of the invisible God. He is the firstborn of creation. She listens because in him all was created. He was before all things and holds all creation together. Jesus sits as the head of the body of the church. He is the beginning and firstborn from the dead. In him all the fullness of God is pleased to dwell, and God reconciles himself to all through Jesus. That's why Mary listens. Mary sat and listened. She connected and enjoyed the presence of Jesus, who was all of those things and more. For those same reasons, we too need to find a way and a time to reconnect to Christ. We need to listen and pay attention to all that he is saying and showing and living for our sake. It is our commission as Christians to find that time to listen. And we are here now to do just that. We gather in worship as a way to break from the busyness of our lives and allow God some time. That's what Mary was doing. She wasn't being lazy. She chose the better part, but the better part for her right then. She chose that as the time and the place to pay attention. And Jesus was praising the courage and the bravery to listen and connect to God instead of doing what women were always supposed to do anyway. Jesus praises her connection. He doesn't disrespect Martha. He doesn't. Now, he does tell Martha that she is too worried about too many things, but he doesn't disrespect her. He says to her that there is only one important thing. And to me, when Jesus is talking and he says that there is only one important thing, Jesus is talking about love. If Martha is living her love by cooking and preparing, then great, wonderful. She has chosen the better part for her right then. But if she's looking to become the next Food Network star and wants Mary to help her out, then it's all wrong. This is what Jesus is saying. Martha, too, needs to find the balance in her actions. Mary found time to connect to God in listening, like we do here in worship. Martha is encouraged to find that balance in her living and her doing, in how it is that she lives out that faithfulness and that love. And again, some may ask, why bother? And of course, the answer is in Colossians, because Martha, like all of us, we do the things we do to follow Jesus, because he is that image of the invisible God. He is the firstborn of creation. God reconciles himself to all through Jesus. And we who feel that love, that connection, that reconciliation, then go. For all of those reasons we discover in Colossians, we get to carry the love of God into our daily lives, into the busy stuff we do, into the ordinary stuff of our everyday lives. It doesn't have to be fancy or extraordinary. It only needs to be love. If we are here to listen and reconnect, we need to be here so that our lives, our everyday lives, can be filled with the love of God so we can share. As we go out and live our everyday lives, as we get to run and go and help and live and do, and as all of that starts to exhaust us, we need to recharge, to refuel. And that's when we cozy up at the feet of Jesus and reconnect. That is why we pray, connecting to the God of love. That is why we read scripture and contemplate and meditate and talk and live. It's why we come here. We come here to be sent out in love. Do you know how a harmonica works? Through the years, I've received gifts of harmonicas any number of times. I know that sounds weird, but it's true nonetheless, all right? Most of the time you get a harmonica, you blow into it, and it makes some wonderful noise. And if you're fortunate, you might get the beginnings of Three Blind Mice or something like that. Because most of the time when we think about an instrument, we blow. Trombone, you blow. Trumpet, you blow. There it is. A harmonica works both on the exhale and the inhale. You need to do both, because when you do both, you get all of the notes and not just some of the notes. Breathing in as well as blowing out, you can really make music. Now, to be honest, I am not an accomplished harmonica player. And it took more years than I care to confess to figure out what I just told you about breathing in and out at the same time. But you see, it's a metaphor for our lives as Christian people. We do need to inhale as well as exhale. We need to do and to ponder. We need to get busy and pause in prayer and contemplation. You see, as followers of Christ, we play harmonica. The story of Mary and Martha can be seen by some as Jesus picking one over the other, but it isn't, though. Jesus doesn't pick Mary over Martha. Jesus wants them both to find the balance needed. Jesus wants us to find the balance needed. Jesus wants us to play harmonica. So often Christian people find justification for one or the other, and they lose out. Some find that they need to be busy doing the work of ministry all the time, and sometimes they see others not quite as busy as failures and weak. Others find that they need time to be filled with scripture and prayer, and if you don't agree with them, then they believe you're missing out on something. For Jesus, for God and God's dream for creation, the one important thing is love. Love, the action word. God loves us. God calls us to love one another. And for us to do that, we need the balance to which Christ is pointing today. We need to connect and we need to be busy. We need to allow God to love us in our everyday lives, and we need to share that love in our lives every day. May we all discover the balance Jesus is calling for in our lives. May we find the best ways to live and do for each other, and the best ways to pause and listen for God. That way, we can truly become the people that we have called to be. That way, we play harmonica. Amen. Please rise. In remembrance and celebration of our baptism, let us confess together our faith using the words we find in the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord. He was conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. On the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. United in Christ and guided by the Spirit, we pray for the church, the creation, and all in need. Ever-present God, in Christ you fill all things. As your church gathers to hear your word, share your meal, and receive your blessing, teach us to welcome strangers as we have been welcomed by you. Lord, in your mercy. Through Christ you created all things, visible and invisible. Teach humankind to honor and protect all creation, including living things that remain hidden from our eyes, such as air, atmosphere, molecules, and microscopic creatures. Lord, in your mercy. Through Christ you reconcile all things. Motivate those in power to end enslavement, dehumanization, or brutality of any kind, and to protect and improve the lives of indigenous and all people. Lord, in your mercy. Through Christ you bring peace. Assure all who are worried and distracted by many things of your constant presence. Soothe those suffering in mind, body, or spirit. Sustain all who are afflicted and those who serve as caregivers. Lord, in your mercy. Yes. Compassionate God, we pray for those who need your healing presence. Bless all who suffer illness and disease, who struggle with injury and accident. We pray especially for Jack, Carol, Fran, Sharon, Libby, and Tom. May the healing presence of Christ rest upon them and all. Lord, in your mercy. In Christ, you make your word fully known. Inspire this worshiping community to abide fully in your word as we sit at the feet of Jesus. Bless the ministry of teachers and Bible study leaders. Lord, in your mercy. We pray for husbands and wives, mothers, fathers, sons, and daughters, that they may show the world what your love looks like, and how we love each other. We pray especially for Wes and Michelle, married here, that they may live out the love they pledged before you, so that others might be blessed. Lord, in your mercy, in Christ you brought forth the firstborn from the dead. We give thanks for the saints you have gathered at your table. Gather us with them in your eternal glory. Lord, in your mercy, God of every time and place, in Jesus' name and filled with your Holy Spirit, we entrust these spoken prayers and those in our hearts into your holy keeping. Amen. Lord, remember us in your kingdom and teach us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. And now, may the Lord grant that we see what needs to be seen and do what needs to be done. May the Lord bless and protect you all. May the Lord smile on you and be gracious to you. May the Lord look upon you all with favor and give you peace. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. I received a note asking for all of us to keep in our prayers today, Virginia Fields. She's not doing so well today, so please keep Virginia in your prayers. Also, a reminder that after this worship service, we are having our congregational meeting. And so, I hope you stay. I hope you have a blessed week. I hope you all stay dry as we go into the world with hope.
That's what we do.
You've been listening to St. John's Lutheran Church, 120 West Water Street, Sydney, Ohio. May God's glory abide with us today. May the love of God be increased within us and extended towards our fellow worshipers. Welcome, children of God. We invite you to return and worship with us again.
I am